Take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, Ephesians chapter number 2. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I want you to take notice of what the Bible says in verse number 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us." And I want to preach this morning on this thought, "But God makes all the difference." But God makes all the difference. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here, and we pray that you'll meet with us in a mighty way. Strengthen our hearts and our lives through your word. Be with that one today that does not know thee as Savior. I pray that this would be the day that they understand your love for them. And Lord, they wouldn't reject you, but they would receive you into their life. Lord, they would become a part of the greatest family in all the world, the family of God. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me. I need your strength and wisdom. I need your power. Lord, I pray that you would empower me. Lord, meet with us. We'll thank you for what's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We see so many things in these verses that have been inspired by God, penned by the Apostle Paul. But those two three-letter words, "but God," makes all the difference in the world. Paul's an expert on the matter. When you look at Paul's past life and see all that Paul had done before his conversion, he understood so much about the grace of God. And he recognized some things, and the Lord used him to pin so many things down that's been a blessing to us and a help to us. Where would we be without the grace and the mercy of God today? What would our life be? Where would we be headed? What would be going on? Would we be in this place? No. We'd be lost and hopeless and undone. But God makes all the difference. Let's look at this passage of Scripture and let's see some things about what the Lord is saying through the hand of the Apostle Paul here, and notice what these verses show us. First of all, I want you to see the dreadful past. The dreadful past. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So the Bible teaches us here about our dreadful past. It teaches us what we were, and by the way, what you are today if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This describes you, this tells you all about your life. For those of us that are saved, this is what we were. And the Bible says, our dreadful past says, that we were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. We had no life. Oh, we may have been walking around and we may have been speaking words, but we were dead in our trespasses, in our transgressions, in our sin, in our iniquity, and in our ungodliness. Dear friends, we were walking dead men and walking dead women. We were dead in trespasses and sin. That's our dreadful past. The Bible also says we were the devil's children. Wherein in time past, verse 2 says, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were following the devil. Belonged to him. Our course was not set by God. Our course was set by the devil. We lived our life for him. That's what we were. That is our dreadful past. The Bible goes on and says that we were disobedient children. The Bible says in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I think we all understand that. If you've ever had children, you want your children to obey, right? Well, the devil's children are also always disobeying the things of the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that that spirit is now in the children of disobedience. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're walking according to the course of this world, according to the course of the prince of power of the air. You're walking as children of disobedience, the Bible says. This is our dreadful past. When I look back at my life before the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what I see. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was the devil's child. I was a disobedient child. And the Bible goes on and says we were derelict in all of our ways. The Bible says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When God's not part of your life, you live for self. You live for self-gratification. You live to get instead of live to give, right? You live to have all that you can, and you allow your mind to wander, and you fulfill the lust of your mind, the lust of your flesh. That's what we were. That's our dreadful past. When we look back and we see these things, we can understand what the Bible is saying. Paul is saying that we were dead in trespasses and sin. Paul is saying we were the devil's children. Paul is saying we were disobedient children. Paul is saying that we were derelict in all of our ways. Paul is saying that there was not a whole lot of good about us. And when we look at our past and we see our past, we begin to wonder, what hope is there? When we see all the things about us, all the sin, all the ungodliness, we begin to wonder, what hope is there? But then verse number 4 comes along and it says, yes, you were dead in trespasses and sin. And yes, you did live according to the prince of the power of the air and the course of this world. And yes, you were as children of disobedience. And yes, you did live to fulfill the lust of your flesh and the lust of your mind. But then the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith His great love, He loved us. I want you to understand, this is what we were. We see our dreadful past. We see that we were lost. We see that we were undone. But then God looked beyond what we were, and He saw what we could be. God looked beyond our sin, and He sent a Savior into the world. God showed us His love in His only begotten Son. The Bible teaches us about our dreadful past. But then the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy. That word mercy, I like it. It's where we don't get what we do deserve. What would we have deserved if we were still dead in trespasses and sin? What would we deserve if we were still living according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air? What would we deserve if we were still being disobedient children? What would we deserve if we were fulfilling the lust of our flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, by nature the children of wrath, even as others? We would deserve every bit of punishment we could get. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, He loved us so much that He sent His Son to take all that upon Him. So we see our dreadful past. But now we see our delightful present. The Bible says in verse number 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. You are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our dreadful past, so bad. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith His great love, He loved us. Wherewith He loved us. And now we have a delightful presence. The Bible says that we have been made alive. We have been quickened, right? So the Bible says that we've been made alive. We have been quickened together. He quickened us together with Christ. In other words, my life is now in Christ. I'm with Christ. As long as Christ exists, I'll exist. I have everlasting life. I have eternal life. I have been quickened together with Christ. I have been raised up together and hath raised us up together. And I have been made to sit in heavenly places together, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. We were so low. We were down there in the muck and the mire. We were in the pit. But God reached down to where we were. And He got us in that low place in our life where we were condemned by our sin. He sent His Son into the world and Christ took care of it. And now I'm not concerned about my dreadful past. But I sure am enjoying this delightful present. You realize that I'm alive now. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. The songwriter said it well. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I can see. I once was dead in trespasses and sin, but I have been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'm no longer a walking dead man, but I'm walking in Christ. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm not dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I that lives. It's Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave Himself for me. No wonder this is a delightful present. No wonder right now is wonderful in my life. Every day of my life, He's there by my side. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy I share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He's there. Every day is delightful present because I've been made alive. I've been quickened together with Christ. I've been raised up. I was so low, but I have been raised up together. And I have been made to sit in heavenly places together with Christ. Through Christ, in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So we see that but God makes all the difference. All because but God. We see our delightful presence. But God helps us to understand the determined promise. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There's a determined promise here. Yes, His grace is good enough for today. Because I am alive today, I have been made alive today. His grace is good enough for today, but the Bible says His grace is good enough for the ages to come. The Bible says in the ages to come, He will show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So not only do we have promises for today, but we have a promise for tomorrow. And if the Lord doesn't return, we have a promise for next week. And if the Lord doesn't return next week, we have a promise for next month. And if the Lord doesn't return next month, we have a promise for next year. And if the Lord doesn't return next year, we have a promise for the next year. And then the next decade. I'm telling you, dear friends, we have a determined promise. And all of this is because, but God is so rich in mercy. And all of this is through Christ Jesus. We see a dreadful past. We see a delightful present. We see a determined promise. But then I want you to see, fourthly, a decided power. I love verse number 8. We quote it all the time, don't we? The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But I love what it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." There was a decision made before the foundation of the world that Christ would die for our sins. Before God ever spoke the world into existence, Christ already said, "I'll go." The Old Testament, we see the blood of bulls and the blood of goats, but the Bible says they never satisfied God. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, when the writer was writing to those Hebrews, this is what he says in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 4, says, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. And when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." What a difference but God makes. What a difference that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ makes. What a difference this decided power makes. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not through works of righteousness, but according to His mercy He saved us. It's not in us. We were not able. We could not be good enough. I'm telling you, the Bible teaches us that there's only one way to heaven, and that is by God's grace. It's not through being a church member. It's not through being baptized. It's not through being a good doer, but it's through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we were is deserving of hell. What we were is dead in trespasses and sin. What we were was walking after the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air. What we were children of disobedience. What we were people fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind. But God, who is rich in mercy, says this is what you can be. And He sent His only begotten Son into the world. By grace, you can trust this Son. Christ died for our sins. He went to the cross of Calvary, and the billows of God's wrath were rolled over on the Son of God. The sins of all mankind was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He nailed our sins to His cross, and He died on the cross for our sins. And they took Him down. They placed Him in a borrowed tomb. And there He took our place. He took our death. He took our hell. He took our sorrow. He took our shame. He took our suffering. He became our substitute. He became our propitiation. He became everything that He needed to be. And Jesus died on the cross. They placed Him in a borrowed tomb. He was buried. But I want you to know, He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. Because 3 days later, He arose. And He said, "I am He that liveth. He was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore." That's power, dear friends. But God. Amen. Satan. I know Satan thought, I've won when Jesus died. You have to remember, Satan does not have a perfect mind. Right? He's sinful. I wonder what it was like when Jesus died. I don't know. And I'm not going to read into it. But I can only imagine what hell must have thought. What Satan must have thought. But 3 days later when he arose, I know what Satan thought. What power. He's never experienced anything quite like that. The Lord Jesus Christ defeated Satan. He died on the cross for our sins. He defeated Satan. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. He arose the third day. And this is what he said. That whosoever will may come. That's grace. Grace has no limitations. It doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short. It doesn't matter if you're big or small. It doesn't matter the color of your hair, the color of your eyes. It doesn't matter the dialect that you use. It does not matter. Jesus died for you. And His power has been made known to this world through His grace. And men and women's lives have been changed through this decided power. This grace that we love to talk about. This Son of God that died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. A decided power. But then we see a definite provision. The Bible says again in verse number 8, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay part of your sin debt. He paid it all. Every sin debt that you owe, Jesus paid for on the cross of Calvary. Guess what? Even for those that don't trust Him, He still paid for their sins. He paid for it. Because the Bible teaches us that He died for the whole world. And when He died on the cross, He died for all the sins. But those who trust in Him are perfected forever. They're sanctified through His sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. What's power, isn't it? That's a provision that's been given to us, a definite provision. It's wholly of God. It's nothing you can do to earn it. It's a gift that you must receive. Guess what? You're not good enough to earn it. Oh, yeah. I don't care how smart you think you are. You're not good enough to earn it. I don't care how righteous you think you are. I don't care how many members, how many churches you've been a member of. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. You're not good enough. I don't care if you've read the Bible through 150 times. That still doesn't do it. You must trust the Lord Jesus Christ by grace, through faith. It is a definite provision that has been given to us. It is a defining provision. And the thing that defines your eternity is whether or not you have, by grace, through faith, trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you have, then this provision is definite to you. You're on your way to heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? I'm telling you, when you look at me, you don't see a perfect body. You don't see a perfect mind. But you see somebody that has been perfected through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't deserve what I'm going to get. And I do deserve some things I'm not going to get. But I've got heaven. And heaven's got me. Because the provision is definite. And then I want you to see finally a dedicated place. But God, what those two words do when I see what we were and I see that but God making all the difference to giving us all that we have, and but God ought to make a difference for what we read in verse number 10. This dedicated place ought to be a place of serving the Lord. The Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not only did God save us, He called us to serve Him. We're His workmanship now. We're to be a trophy of His grace. We're to be a display of the grace of God in our walk, in our talk. Because we were lost, we were undone, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His love wherewith He loved us, sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. He has made us to sit together in heavenly places. He has raised us up together. He's done all these things, and He's done it by grace. Because I couldn't work my way there. I couldn't earn my way. I couldn't do enough good. But Christ did it all. And now because of that, there ought to be a dedicated place in my life. I should be serving Him. The greatest place in all the world for saved people is to be in the will of God. To be there. Just imagine. Lost, dead, on our way to hell, but God took us as we were, didn't give us what we deserved, but gave us what we did not deserve. And now, saved, settled, secure, serving, on our way to heaven, because God did what no one else could do, but God makes all the difference. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you depending on His grace, your works? If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, I know it's hard for you to fathom this, but you either belong to the Lord or you belong to the devil. Today you can become a child of God. But it's your choice. God opens His arms. He says you're welcome in the family. But you must choose to trust Christ. You must come to Him. You say, well, I've done this. I'm too good or I'm too bad. No. You're just the one that Jesus died for. I don't care how good you think you are or how bad you think you are. You're just the one that Jesus died for. And if you'll come to Him just as you are, He'll take you just as you are. And He'll begin to make you what He can make out of your life. Let's bow our heads. How about you? Has God made this difference? Has He made the difference in your life? What are you depending on for your eternity? You trust in works or you trust in the Savior? You say, preacher, I've already been saved. I've trusted the Lord. Well, are you at that place where you've dedicated your life to serving Him, doing what He wants you to do? But God, yes, He made the difference in your salvation, but He also makes a difference in your service. What are you doing? If you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not perfect. There's no doubt I'm not perfect. I know that. But I know I've trusted Christ and Him alone for my soul's salvation. And as a testimony to that, I'd like to raise my hand right now and just say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm not perfect, but I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I've trusted Christ. I've trusted Him. I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you so much. For those that didn't lift your hand, I want you to know, yes, the Bible says that you're dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible says that in all honesty, you're following the course of this world, the course of the devil. I mean, it's the Lord's not in control, then there's another controlling factor. Children of disobedience. But God, He sees you where you are. And He says to you today that you can come to Him. He'll quicken you. He'll raise you up and He'll make you to sit in heavenly places. By grace, He can do that. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, in just a moment, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. You're here to hear this message. You're here to be able to make a decision. And now it's come to that time. It's decision time for you. Will you trust Christ? Will you receive Christ today or will you reject Him? For those of us that have trusted Christ, raise your hand. We know that heaven's going to be our home. Are we dedicated to doing what God wants us to do? Are we His workmanship? Are we displaying His workmanship in our lives? If not, why don't you come and say, Lord, I know Your grace has been so sufficient, but I want to give myself to being the kind of representative of this world that You'd have me to be. I want to commit to doing that today. Lord, we give this time to Thee. May Thy will be done in Christ's name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano begins.